continue with the Agadata of Shimshon. Yesterday we were discussing about Shimshon. We ended off with the bottom of Tejman, the top of Yudam and Aleph. We ended off with the Amar of Chama Rebbe Chanina. What does it mean? Behu Yachel Hoshiat Yisrael. It says, Huchal Shvuato Shel Avimelech. That at that point in time, the Shvua of Avimelech was considered Nitzbatel, was considered nullified, because the Pishtim had violated their half of the neder, or the Shvuah, between Avram and Avimelech, because of the way they were treating the Jews, and therefore Nitan Rishut, right, to Shimshon to take revenge or to avenge B'nai Yisrael or his treatment by the Pishtim. Because it says, "In Tishkorli Ulani Ulanekdi Ulanekdi." Now, like Galanar, by Yavarchehu Hashem. So it says that the Nar got bigger, and Hashem gave him a blessing. But Ber Barucho, what did he give him? A bracha. What does it mean that he got a bracha from Hashem? And it's interesting, Rashi over here. If you look at Rashi, it's in the first line in Rashi. It says, "But Ber Barucho, Kol Bracha Shem B'Mikra." What is a bracha? And Mikra means Lashon Ribuihu. Means a lashon of plentiful or many. Davar marbe umatsui bo sova, something that grows or expands and has satisfaction with it. That's the idea of bracha. So he wants to know where do we find a bracha like this for Shimshon Amudam Rav Shkrachoba Amato. He blessed him with his amato. Amato kipni adam vizaro ginachol shotif. Right, so that his bracha that he was that his amato was kimi adam vizaro kinachol shotef, and his zaro, his offspring, or his zera, was like a flowing river. So now next question is like question shown al Hashem, vayom Hashem elokim zachreni na v'chazkeni na achapam hazeh. So here at the end of his life, after he's already captured by the Plishtim, he's tied up in the Azad. They brought him out to be Misachek, right, to entertain them. And at that point, Shimshon calls out to Hashem and says, "Give me one more chance to take revenge on Plishtim," right? And then he wants to take revenge for one of his two eyes. Right? So he says, one of his two eyes, and that Rashi points out over here that the reward for one of my two eyes that was taken out should be now, in order to destroy the Aza, the building in Aza where they all were partying at that point in time, and the other eye should bring me to Olam Haba. So that's why he says, "In Kavanah Kama Achad Mishtein Eye, he pushed him." Amarab.
Didn't we say that the removal of his eyes was a punishment?
Right. So the Marsha points that out. Then we say before, or at the beginning of the Gemara, after the Mishnah, the Gemara says that that was Mida Keneged Mida, that he went after his Einayim, and therefore he would be, he was punished with his Einayim. Right, so that's what the Marsha asked. The Marsha says because of that it would be sufficient for him only to have one of his eyes taken out, meaning that have both of his eyes removed wasn't necessarily Mida Keneged Mida, but that having one eye out, and so the other eye was left over in order to claim some reward over it.
That contradicts the pshat that says that he wanted part of his schar alam hazeh, and the other schar of the other eye was in alam haba.
Yeah, so here, if I can just find the Rashi quickly, he says, the Marsha in alam haba, because it's a little bit very Yerushalmi. But here's the Marla, he said, "Yet a Talmud Shemanu, and Nash Beinav, Ashimarad ve'inav, k'demarleo v'akrocha amar d'haya d'ayu b'o'u b'onish echad mi'beit inav, v'acheret amar tenla b'nikama." So the Marsha says that what Rashi is bringing down is the interpretation of the Yerushalmi, who doesn't believe that the eyes were necessarily a punishment. It wasn't the midah, k'neged midah. And therefore he had the availability of two eyes to, right, tender to Hashem, one for destroying the an Aza, the party in Aza, and the other one Olam Haba. But according to our Gemara, the Babli, who thinks that his Einayim were a Midah Keneged Midah, a punishment, so Moshe says even according to our Gemara, it would have been sufficient that one of his eyes was poked out. So then he's now tendering the other eye to have the palace in Aza be destroyed. That's a very good question. Moshe asks you a question. Alright. And then it says, Zahor li Esrim So remember that I, or remember for me that I judged Israel, you know, me this chus, that I was a shofet of Israel for 20 years. So there is a girsa, which is interesting. There's a girsa of Esrim Ushtayim or Esrim Shtayim. The Yerushalmi says that it was actually he ruled over, it was not, one pasuk says 20 years, one says 40 years, but the psukim actually only say 20 years. The pasuk in Shoftim, actually twice in the psukim in Shoftim, does it say the word Esrim Shana, that he ruled over, and so it was Shofet Yisrael for 20 years. So it seems to be that the Yerushalmi reads it that he was Shofet 20 years. In fact, the pasuk repeated it twice, right, tells you that he ruled for 40 years. Why, otherwise, why does it tell you twice that he was a Shofet for 20 years? Well, you know, the basic, or the Pashup Shah would be that he ruled for 20 years, and that's it. And that's why the Girsa has changed to Esrim Shana. The Girsa Yerushalmi, again, is the 40 years, seems to take the twice that it ruled 20 years. Then, the one, the hardest one to understand is the Girsa here, which is Esrim Ushtayim. So that's the, why they took out that Girsa. The Marsha tries to uphold the Girsa and say maybe it means Esrim Shtayim, 2 times 20. And that, just like the Yerushalmi, that means 20 times 2, and it means really 40 years. But either way, that he's claiming as a chus for Israel, to shafatati at Israel, but amarti lachad mehem, I barely makel me makom naokom. He says that I never asked B'nai Israel to do anything for me. Right? Similar to the claim that Moshe Rabbeinu makes by Adar Korach, and that Shmuel makes, right? That they never, despite their ability to ask the people to help them out, that they worked on their own, and they did not ask for any favors, and therefore, right, they're not subject to any, any compensation. Moshe even points over here that he doesn't have a problem of, right, the shokha yaver and tzadikim. You don't have to worry that why did I lose my eyes here? It's not because of shokha or because I was metabel from the people. So it says, Vayelech Shimshon.
It's interesting, there's a mida keneged mida in that implied punishment that an yaver uses a makel.
Oh, that's
if in
good.
Theory he would have asked for his makel, so now you've got to use a makel.
Oh,
he
says,
that's not it. I never did it.
Very good, that's fine. Very good. So this is when Shimshon got upset at the people because they gave away his wife, right? His first wife, the Plishtim, took her away, gave her away to someone else. So then Shimshon takes 300, right, Shualim, 300 wolves. Maishana Shualim. Why did he pick 300 wolves? He takes 300 wolves, he ties their tails together, puts torches in them, and they go around the fields of the Plishtim and burn them up. So Maishna Shualim, I'm Rabbi Aibo Bar Nigdi, I'm Rabbi Kirba Abba Mashimshon, Yavo Misha Kozer La Korav, Barem Yablishtim, Shechazru B'Shuatan. I take the Shual, which goes back on its tracks, and when it's being captured, when it's afraid, it recoils or runs back. I saw on the Plishtim who went back on their promise, meaning on their commitments, both their commitments to, we saw above, to Klal Yisrael, not to attack them from the time of Avimelech, but also their commitments to Shimshon, where he had already married a woman, and they were denying him the rights to his wife. Tama, Tanya, Amar Shimon, Chazit, Ben, Tifam, Shimon, Shishima, Mahaya. The width, or the breadth, of Shimshon's shoulders were 60 amot, Shnemar. It says, Veishkav Shimshon HaKatsi Alayla. So Shimshon, this is, again, we discussed yesterday, Shimshon is involved with three Plishti women. He married, originally married a woman from Timnato, and then eventually she is taken away from him by the Plishtim, who deny him access to her. Then he burns the fields, and the Plishtim get angry, and they end up burning his father-in-law and his wife. They end up killing them because they feel that they caused Shimshon to come after them. Then the second time Shimshon got involved with the woman is in Nisha Zonah, that he goes down to Aza, and this is what the Gemara quoted yesterday, that Tchilat Pornato, he Tchilat Aza, which is that he goes down to Nisha Zonah, and the last one is Delila, which he gets involved with towards the end. So this is the case where he's involved with the Nisha Zonah, and it says there that the Plishtim get wind of the fact that Shimshon's on a visit to Aza with this Nisha Zonah. So they end up pulling in all the troops or all the people, and they wait for him to awaken in the morning, and they're going to capture him on his way out. So instead, Vayishkav Shimshon HaChatzi HaLayla. He only stays there until halfway through the night. And halfway through now, Vayakam HaChatzi HaLayla, Vayakos B'Daltot Shar HaYir. Right, so then he gets up in the middle of the night, and then he grabs the doors of the city, right? Vayishkav Shimshon, not only does he take up the doors, he takes off the lintel or the pillar doorposts that are holding it up. Vayisei Mimabriach, he rips them out with the lock. And he puts them on their shoulders, and then he walks away with them and actually goes up to Har Hebron. That's what the Pasuk says. He goes up to Har Hebron and calls out to the police team from Har Hebron and tells them to take a look at their doors. Right? And actually, the Jews are not so excited about this because they feel like Shimshon's right, instigating the police team, and they're afraid of what the police team are going to do. The Jews are continue to be afraid of the police team, and Shimshon takes basically on, by himself takes on in all the instances where he engages with the police team, it's really on his own that he's taking them on, not with the rest of the Kali. So Gemiri, and we have a Mesora, the angel told us that the doors of Azar were Shishimama. So if he carried them Ben Tefav, Ak Tefav, and we know that it's Tefav where Shishimama. Right, but he Tochein Bebeit Asurim. So it says in the Pesukim, after they captured him, it says that after his hair was shaved off, they captured him, and then they put shackles on his legs, Nefoshot Tayim, put shackles on his leg, and they take him to the Beit Asurim, and in the Beit Asurim, they make him a grinder, Tochein. They make him work the mill, basically. They make him, you know, tie him up to the mill and make him walk around and mill the wheat. That's what he's put to work in the Beit Asurim. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, ain't Tchina a Lashon Aveira. Tchina is a Lashon of Aveira. Not Tochein like we know Tochein to be to grind, but rather Tchina Lashon Aveira. Tchein Omer says in Yov, Titchan Lacher Ishti. My wife should then be available or ground by another man. We're going to see in a second, the Gemara is going to quote the beginning of this pasuk in a second, but it's basically, Eob over there is saying that if I cheated on my wife, or if I did something wrong to my wife, then another man, Titchan Lacher Ishti, my wife should be available to another man. So over there it's clear that Titchan does not mean what it means, I mean, it literally means to grind, but there it means grind in the sense that another man will take her, or will have, you know, a relationship with her. The Plishtim brought their wives to the Beit HaSurim in order to engage with Shimshon so that they should become pregnant from Shimshon and have, you know, these unusual children like Shimshon. Right, that you give, basically this is a person ends up where they want to be. Basically, a person wants, you know, a drunkard, before a drunkard or before a wine drinker, you bring wine. I mean, that those that are searching or want certain items, that's what you give to them. Kame refuka vidya dufla. So in front of the worker, the, I don't know, what's it called, the field workers or the workers, the vegetable patch workers, you bring vegetables. Gardeners, thank you. I was looking for gardeners, you bring vegetables. So that the idea is that you bring or you service people with that which they are used to or that which they are regular with. And so to over here, right, that's the claim our Papa's making about Shimshon also, right? Shimshon got himself in trouble, right, with the Plishtim 3 times. He gets involved with Plishti women, right, that he's running after them. He's Lahuta Kareyem. And therefore in the end, he's, right, the punishment here according to this was the Midah Kedangimidah, or they provided for him that they brought their wives to him in the Beit HaSurim. So anyone who is Mizaneh, his wife is Mizaneh al him. Shinamar. Now this is in Yov, this is the beginning of the pasuk that we just read before. In Yov, Niftali bi alisha, right, if my heart was drawn away or seduced by another woman, Petach Re'i Aravti, where I sat in wait by my friend's door to capture his wife. Right? And then it says, right after that, Titchan Lacher Ishti. My wife will be what? Given, should be ground to another, meaning that she will be given over to another. And others will bend over her, or bow over her. Meaning that Eov is saying, had I cheated on my wife, it would only be appropriate that my wife was, right, Mizaneh Tachti. You know, that was, he's saying it in the negative form. I mean, the fact is, I never cheated on my wife. I never did anything wrong. So therefore, right, nothing should happen with my wife. But had I done something wrong, then something should have happened with my wife. So this is what people say, the common expression, which is that he is a gourd and she's a gourd. But these are Kari and Botini. Rashi says they're different sizes. One's a big gourd and a little gourd, but the same species. They're of the same ilk. Meaning that if he's cheating, she's cheating. Meaning that they're made of the same cloth, or the same thing happens. It's a That's a common thread between them. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shimshon Danet Yisrael Kavion Shebeshamayim. That Shimshon was judged Bnei Yisrael like their father in heaven. Shenemar Dan Yedina Mo. Right, so the pasuk is Dan Yedina Mo Keachad Shifte Yisrael. But now the Gemara's reading it Dan Yedina Mo Keachad, like the one who's Keachad. Echad is like a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So that Dan, he was Dan, his nation, which we said before that the Brach of Yaakov referred to Shimshon when it says Dan Yedina Mo. So he judged Bnei Yisrael like a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He was a shofet on Yisrael and he judged him like a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Yochanan is even more a more startling statement. Shimshon Hashmosha Kadosh Baruch Hu Nikra. The name Shimshon, right, came from is the name of Hashem. Shnemar, Kishemesh Umagein Hashem Elokim. Hashem is a sun and a protection for Bnei Yisrael. So now the Gemara asks, Elamiyata Loimacha. Wait, if Shimshon is the name of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he was named for a Kadosh Baruch Hu, what do you know about the name of Hashem? The name of Hashem cannot be erased. Cannot be erased. If that's the case, then Shimshon should not be entitled. If you have the name Shimshon, you write Shimshon, you should be able to erase it if that is the Shem Hashem. It's not that it's the name of Hashem, but it's similar to the name Hashem. What does it mean, similar to the name Hashem? Ma Hashem Magin Acholam Kloav Shimshon Magin B'Torah Al Yisrael. That it's not, right, we have different names of Hashem. There are certain names of Hashem which talk about the mahut, right, the essence of Hashem, and they really are names of Hashem, like Yudke, Bavke, Pasi Elokim. Those are names that talk about Hashem. And there are other names of Hashem that aren't his names, but talk about the tchunot, or the interactions Hashem has with, right, Olam Hazeh, which is Kanun, Rachum, right, those are descriptions of the midot of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So if you're talking about the names, right, that are describing Hashem, which is what the original seems to be. The original. I'll read this with you in Tosfos in a second. But seems to be the original argument of the Gemara that Shimshon is a name of Hashem, meaning that literally, like Yud-Tevav Ke-Elohim, then it should not be erased. And that is describing the mouth of Hashem. That's a real name of Hashem. You can't erase it. The Gemara in the end says, no, it's not that's a name of Hashem, but rather it's like Rachum and Chanun, which are descriptions, right, of Hashem's interactions with the Olam Hazeh, with Klal Yisrael, and therefore, it's not under the requirement of Lo Yimachah, because those names can be erased. They are only descriptions of Hashem, not, right, actual names of Hashem. If you look quickly in the Tosfos asks, came the Rabbi, or the Rebbe, that our question, Maishna Mishalom. Right? How is Shimshon different than Shalom? What it says in the Perek Kamen Shabbos, Amar Menuna, Mishmei Tehula, Asu Adam Shitem Shalom Lechaveru, but Beit Merchas Mishum Deshem, Kufei Ikrei Shalom, because Hashem is called Shalom. Right? It's Kiyachtiv, Ikrei Lo Hashem Shalom. I call them Hashem Shalom. So what do you see? Hashem Shalom is used, what, to describe Hashem, or the name of Hashem. And no one ever claims that, what, that Shalom should be an unerasable name, right? That you're not allowed to erase the name of Shalom. So why is the Gemara bothered by the fact that, right, Shimshon is the name of Hashem, and Lemachad, the two don't necessarily come hand in hand. The word Shalom is never included in the list of names that can't be erased. The Nira at the time of Shia, no, at the time left it out. Should have been in the list, and they left it out. V'adif Mikhanan Barachum, and that's a better name, or a higher form of name of Hashem than Chanan Barachum. Right, the nimchah, because those are allowed to be erased. The last kach shakar kach shabok shuukach chanun. We never find Hashem being called chanun. V'halcha parik, and that's how the Gemara we explain the Gemara. Yerahad the kama shmo shel kach shabok nikra mashma the shmo nikra kach. That's literally his name. V'haynu kadachi elam ein shmo. No, it's not really his name, but it's a descriptive term. From chanun, Hashem shehu chonen umrachem al abriyotav. So what is a descriptive name of Hashem? That's not a name of Hashem. That's describing the tchunot of Hashem. It describes the tchunot of Hashem. There's no problem of b'tchiyat Hashem. As opposed to, if we say literally it's the name of Hashem, like in here, Tosfos includes Shalom, possibly. If that really is the name of Hashem, that you would not be able to erase the Shalom, because that is the Shem Hashem. And so it's over here, Shimshon, had it been literally a name of Hashem, that would have been, right, under the requirement or under the restriction of erasing the name of Hashem. Okay, last piece of the Akadata here on Shimshon. Har Yochanan Bilam Chiger Baragul Achataya. Right, that he's lame, or he was unable to walk with one of his legs. We know that from the story, right, on his way to go to Balak, to curse Bnei Yisrael, the donkey, right, the chamor crushes his leg, against the wall. Shenemar Vayelech Shefi. And you see when he goes in his first time to go out, it says Vayelech Shefi, that he's walking with a limp or in a troubled way. And therefore, that's implicit or implies that his leg had been injured by the Chamor. Shimshon Chiger Shteirag Lav Haya. Shimshon was a Chiger on both. It's like Shenemar Shrifon Alei Orach. Right? That he will be, right, like a snake on the way. Right? A snake does not have legs, right? We just, the snakes, we just had that yesterday in yesterday's daf. It's like as he slithers along the ground. So when was it that Shimshon did not have legs? I mean, Shimshon had legs his whole life. That is a reference to the Nachashatayim, right? That the shackles that they put on his legs after they captured him, they put the shackles on his legs, meaning that they made it impossible for him to walk anymore or to run away. That's what it means that he was, right, that he was Chiger B'Shtei Raglav.
Who shouted that?
I think the Marshal brings that down. Tanur Rabban, otherwise it's hard to understand what it means, Chiger B'Shtei Raglav, because he was, you know, he was prone to plishtim no gravel, right, and walking around, so otherwise it's hard to understand. All right, Tanur Rabban. Alright, Hamisha Nebre'u Me'in Dugma Shomala V'Kuban Lakubahen. There are five people who had, let's call them a midah, or had a gift from Hashem that was, meaning in a sense, a gift that was from Hashem and displayed extraordinary characteristic, or they had an extraordinary characteristic that was Me'in Malo. I mean, that almost, it seems like it was beyond human aspect of them. Shimshon b'kocho, right? That was Shimshon in his strength. Shaul b'tzabaro, Shaul with his neck, or maybe his height here, we'll call it, right? Absalom b'sa'aro, Absalom with his hair. B'tzitzia b'enav, with his eyes, and Asa b'raglav. Right? Shimshon b'kocho, Shimshon with his strength, d'ktiv, v'yaser kocho me'alav. So we know that is koach, right? Shimshon, all the stories of Shimshon, his unusual koach. I don't know, he was punished, when he was punished with his koach, because that after she shaves his hair, Delilah shaves his hair off, he jumps up to attack the Plishtim, and he says he doesn't realize that Hashem has left him. V'yaser koach me'alav, his koach left him. So that's where he was punished. He was punished that his koach left him at that time, and then he was captured by the Plishtim. Shaul b'tzabaro, this is an interesting, right? How do we know Shaul b'tzabaro? How do we know that he was blessed b'tzabaro? That is because the Pasuk says when Shaul was chosen as a king, right, it says, right, that he was head and shoulders above the rest, right, that he stood, right, so I don't know, you know, here they're taking it, what is true, which is literally that his head was above the others, meaning that he was tall, his head was above, his neck was higher than all the others, his koma. Maybe not. So how do we know that that's where he was killed? Shaul, when he's about to be captured by the Plishtim, asks for his weapons bearer to give him a sword to fall on to commit suicide. But this sword, and Rashi says over there, it says, doesn't say that he fell on his neck, but Rashi says it implies that where do you kill with a sword? That's the neck. So he thinks that he fell on the sword by his neck. Seems strange to me, but at least that's the way Rashi interprets it, to be a midah ke-neged midah. All right. Avshalom b'sa'aro, Avshalom with his hair. Tidabina l'meimar l'kaman. We're going to explain that in a second. That the next agadato, the whole next agadato, is, there's a agadato coming up on the second amud today, which deals with Avshalom and his hair. But the basic thing is that Avshalom, the apostle says that there was no one who was more beautiful than Avshalom in his hair and his eyes. He was beautiful. And we know that when he's riding the donkey and he's running away from the Abdei David, who spot him, he chanced upon them, he rides and his hair gets caught in the tree and he's suspended there from the tree and the donkey goes on and that's how he's captured. So the hair that was his beauty, right, was his tremendous beauty is what did him in. Come on. So the next two, Tzidkiyovinov and Asabraglav, Rashi comments on both of these that it's not clear where we know that they had, Tzidkiyov had beautiful or wonderful or exceptional eyes, and Asa had exceptional legs. It's not clear. The only thing they do bring is what their punishment was. So I don't know if the Gemara is assuming because they were punished with these items, that must mean that, right, that they had something exceptional about these items. That's one. The Marshal tries to use some of the midrashim to show, I don't know, I'll point them out to you, but I don't think he has a very strong case that he's making over here. Alright, so it says, right, at the end, when Tzidkio runs away from, right,
being captured. After the Babylonian speaks to the city of Yerushalayim, and they come through the city, Tzidkiel escapes down to Yericho. And they chase him down to Yericho. When they finally catch up with him, they bring him back, and it says, "Vishafatu oto," they give him a speaking to. And after they give him a speaking to, they kill all his children in front of him, and then they poke out his eyes. They blind him at that point in time. So, and plus the fact that they blinded him was that he had something exceptional about his eyes. In this list, the Martin Shaw says, well, the Yerushalmi, there's a medrash that says that Tzidkiyahu, when he was escaping from the city, there was a tunnel that led out of the city of Yerushalayim all the way down to Yericho, and he used the escape tunnel to go down to Yericho. And it was at night, right? And a deer follows him on top, and that's how they knew that he was going underneath the tunnel. There was a deer following him, and the deer led them to the opening at the other end. That's how he was captured. The Shem wanted him captured. So Marsha says, well, it was at night, and he was running through the tunnels, and there was no light, and he was able to see. So the fact that he must have had exceptional eyesight, by the fact that he could see in the tunnel. Again, that's so compelling, but otherwise you're left with the fact that the Gemara makes a statement about his eyes that doesn't necessarily have a source in the Pesukim. Sabra Glav, how do you know with his Div, Rakhle Tikhato Chalatra Glav. Towards the end of his life, his legs became weakened. That he was captured with the sickness, Padagra. So Rashi says that Shem Koli, who ahoys Baraglaim, Korla Putgara. That's the name of it, this sickness that makes your legs go weak. I'm going to assume to bring Rav Nachman,
hey. According to the Padagra, it's gout.
Gout? Okay, thank you very much. And I was going to guess polio almost, but I don't know, right? It was something that just somehow paralyzed or weakens the legs, but thank you, gout. Alright, so I'm really my Zutra braid, the Rav Nachman, hey, can you tell me, Padgra, how does it work? I'm like a machat with sarchai. It's like a needle through live skin. So I don't know what that means. That's the pain that's associated with it, or the difficulty that it causes. Minayodo. So how did he know this? Right? They asked Rav Nachman, how did Rav Nachman know what it feels like? So he could not mean because of a chashvik, that he had the sickness, meaning that he was afflicted with it, and that's how he knew. Bigadam, right? So this is reminiscent of what we saw above with Ben Azai. Right? How did Ben Azai know what was the Shior Tum'ah? Right? If he never got married, how did he know what the Shior Tum'ah was? And then what were the other answers? Bigadam, Mirabba Shamalei, that he got it from his Rebbe. And that he didn't know about it, but his Rebbe told him. Bigadam, so the Shem Liriyav, Ubrito, the Hodiyam. Right? That Hashem tells over secrets, meaning that the Tamei Chachamim are blessed with the ability to understand. Right, that which is not necessarily they have an experience, but they have that knowledge from Hashem. Why was Asa punished? I mean, that why was he punished that his legs were very weakened? Because it says, he put the Tamei Chachamim to work. Meaning that he taxed them, he put them to work. Shneamar, it says, the Melech Asa'ah, Yishmiat Kol Yehuda. Hey, Naki, at the end, he's in constant war. Asa is at war with the king of Israel, Basha. And the king of Israel, Basha, was placing a lot of pressure on Asa, and he built up a city in Ramoth, a place called Ramoth, in order to block Asa from being able to come out of Yerushalayim. So he builds something there, and he brings in, and he starts building for many years a city. So Asa, in order to protect himself, sends up a bribe to Aram, right, the king of Aram, to come down and attack Basha, to take the pressure off of him. And it works. And it takes the pressure off of him, and Basha has to abandon his building of this place called Ramoth. So after that happens, Asa puts Bnei Israel to work. He taxes the people and makes them go take apart the city Ramoth, or this area of Ramoth that has been built to block him from leaving Yerushalayim. So that's what it's talking about here. It says, Shemit Kol Yehuda, Inaki, took all the people of Inaki, and nobody was patur, meaning they put them all to work to take apart the city. My Inaki, what does it mean that there was nobody was patur, nobody was allowed to go out of the work? Even a Chatan that was just married, or a Chalam Mechubuta, he put them to work, and on the side he says, and the Aruch says, Choshekein Talmidei Chachamim, and certainly Talmidei Chachamim. And why does where do they get Chatan Mechidrel? Why is that the learning? That's in the Pasuk in the Torah, right? Say in the Torah, like he takes to the milchama, right? What is who is right? Naki yeh lebeito shenachat, right? That he will be clean to his house. I mean, that when he gets married, he's patur from army duty for 1 year. Naki mebeito, right? So that word naki is used by a chatan, and therefore it says in naki, that's referencing the chatan, right? That is who is naki from who should have been naki that he put him to work, and then certainly the time is coming. All right, Ketiv, right, that Yerit Shimshon Timnata, right, that Shimshon went down to Timnata, Ketiv, Hinei Chamich Ole Timnata. But Yehuda and Tamar, it says your, right, Chamich, it says your father-in-law is coming up to Timnata. So why is one person going down to Timnata and the other one is going up to Timnata? And to that, the third Amar of Elazar. So Rav Elazar says, what it's figurative. Shimshon shnitzgane bo tibbe yirida. And Shimshon, who, when he went down to Timnata, it was a negative thing that he went down there. Therefore, what it says, yirida. Yehuda shnitzgane bo, Yehuda, who came out of that in a better way, meaning that he, the lineage of David was created through that, or the Mashiach, the lineage of Mashiach, but the Malchus Yehuda was created through that. Nitzalabat tibbe aliyah. So therefore, it was written by him in aliyah. So it's not literal, but figurative. It's not about their going up physically or down physically, but the result of what Timnata did for them. Well, there's two different places called Timnat. It's not necessarily the same place. Chada birida, the chada the aliyah. One of them was going up, and one of them was going down. Papa Amar, chada Timnata havia. It was one Timnata. That's mahagis birida. That's mahagis aliyah. Right? That it's actually on the side of a mountain. The Timnata is built on the side of a mountain, and because it's built on the side of the mountain, therefore depending from which side you're coming from to the city, one side you'd be going down to the city, and one side you'd be going up to the city, and the Gemara brings to Kigon, Vardonia, Ubebari, Bisuka, Dinarsh. These are locations, right, that also were built on a hillside, right, and since they're building on a hillside, you have the same feature, which is that you can approach it from two sides, one from the upper side and one from the lower side. Not a lot of time, but also Rashi brings us down on the Torah by Devorah, when Yaakov buries Devorah by Lom Bakut, there, that he also talks about it. Rashi does it the same thing. How come one person says Aliyah and one says Ziridah? He says that the place is found Al Shipulei Ahar, found on the side of a mountain. That the location, therefore, one time it says by your aid, and one time it says by Allah. So he goes up.
Probably just like something we need to explain to us. You're going to say that if you're approaching it from one point, you could have to go down to it. If you're approaching another point, you have to go.
Right. I think it's as opposed to the other interpretation, which takes it figuratively. I mean, this interpretation says that there is a way to explain it literally instead of having to go to the figurative explanation. All right. Teshev v'petach ha'inayim. So now we're jumping over to the Agadah now of Yehuda and Tamar. So now it says she sat at Petach Einayim. What does that mean that she sat at the fork in the road, basically? She sat in the place where Abraham Avinu used to pitch his tent. The place where all eyes were looking forward to going to. Because of the Hanukkah Zorachim of Abraham, everybody always looked forward to coming across that point or going to that location. And that's where she sat. There's a place that was called Einayim, and that's because in the list in Yoshua, the cities of Yehuda, it says that they knew Omer, Tapuach ve'Ha'inam. Right, so Tapuach, the cities that were found in Yehuda, in the Shvelah, were Tapuach, and Tapuach ve'Ha'inam. They're found in Tapuach ve'Ha'inam, which actually is in the list with, I'll tell you what else there in that list is. Tapuach ve'Ha'inam is also Eshtaol, Tzorah, and Tanoach. Those are the places that are listed also in Tapuach ve'Ha'inam. Those are all the places around here, which are in this, around
Adulam.
Our area. What?
And she was from Adulam.
And she was from Adulam, right?
Isn't she?
Adulami. Isha Adulami is his friend. Right?
His friend.
Right.
Oh, okay. So
Isha Adulami. Right. But it is. It seems to be it's in this location. It makes a lot of
Yehuda.
Sense. Right. Well, it is Shevet Yehuda, though it's not, I mean, it's from that one here. Afri Nachla. But it is, right. It's in the area of what later became Nachla Yehuda. Exactly. Right. So now, Rav Shmuel ben Achminia Marsh Natna Einayim Lidvara. Right. He says she gave explanation or guidance to what she said. Right? Because she tava'a Amarla when she, you know, when he gets together with her, Amarla Shema Nachritat. Maybe you're not Jewish. Amarla Yoritani, I converted. Shema Ishat, maybe you're married. Amarla Pnuyani, I am a single, I'm a free woman. Shema Kibelba Abich Kiddushin, maybe your father already accepted when you were time accepted Kiddushin for you. Amarla Yitomani, I'm an orphan, and therefore there's no way that my father accepted Kiddushin for me. Shema Tmeat, maybe you are Tmei, maybe you're Nida. Amarla Yitohorani, it's meaning that she was able to justify her position or answer all the questions of Yehuda, and that's what it means, Einayim, that you give Einayim l'divareha. Just point out here, there's a funny Rashi here that says, what? That this Gemara goes, v'hach svar ala bitel shoshem haita. That according to this Gemara of this Gemara, it can't be that Tamar was the daughter of shame. Why does the Medrash say that she was the daughter of shame? Because what was the punishment that Yehuda said for her, set up for her? When he finds out that she's Sinta Tamar, Kalatech, what does he say? Hosea, it's the rape. She gets burnt. Who gets the punishment of burning? It's about Kohen. Right, and who was the Kohen, right? Who was the Kohen? Elyon was Malkim Tzedek, which the Medrash says was shame. So it's a shame. So therefore they say that Tamar was Bito Shoshim. So now over here, Rashi says, Lahak Svar La Bito Shoshim Haidak, Shemishnat Shoshim Yaakov, Kalush No Tav Shoshim. Meaning, Shem already dies, right, way back in the 60th year, after Yaakov was 60 years old here. Yaakov Faria Yotemi Ben Me'av Esther, at this point, he was already 110 years old when this is, had taken place, the story with Yudah. So she couldn't have been when he's talking about over here, she couldn't have been a Ketano over here when he's saying to her, oh, maybe your father accepted Kedushin for you. Now the real answer is that you could just say that maybe he accepted Kedushin for you when you were a Ketano. Not that you are a Ketano now and maybe accepted Kedushin for you, but maybe accepted Kedushin for you when you were a Ketano. I don't know if Rashi's Ha'ara is as strong, but anyway, he points out that he thinks
that she's
Ketano.
I'm
sorry?
She was a Ketano, so he's like what her father did.
What her father did. Oh, you mean because, right, that the Marsha asked also over here.
She doesn't have a father, right?
Oh, that's a father. There's no Kenyan Kedushin. Back then, the Gemara says there's no Kenyan Kedushin back then. What are we talking about Kedushin for, right? All these things are in positions of halachic realities that happen afterwards. Nidah, right? Gioret, right? Kedushin. These are all halachic functions that don't. Don't make any sense in that time. So that, you know, either you answer up, like we say in other places, that Avram Avinu even kept Pilu Erubri Tavshil and even Mitini Drabanan, or you just say that the Gemara's after, you know, we're creating Mashiach Hatan Shel Yisrael, so we want to do it Bitara, right? That's found in the, even though it's done in a strange manner, even though that it happens from an underhanded way in some ways, on the other hand, we want to make it as clean as possible. Alright, now the famous Gad Vayitei Shalvei Be'er Sheva. So here, the Gemara jumps. It's interesting here. The Gemara's going to go back to Yehuda and Tamar, but the Gemara jumps over to Avraham Avinu a little bit, because we talked about it. Heshev Bepetach Ha'inayim was the Ohel of Abraham. So here it jumps over, does a little piece about Avraham Avinu, and then goes back to Yehuda and Tamar, which, you know, it's interesting only because it seems to me that the Gemara is drawing some sort of parallel or some sort of between Tamar and Avraham Avinu. I don't know. I didn't get enough thought yet, but there is probably some midrashic or some figurative, you know, connection between Tamar and Abraham. Right. That he eats Beitaisho means that he set up an orchard. He planted all sorts of wonderful fruits and goodies over there. What's an eshel? One of them says it's a pardes, an orchard. One of them says it's pudak, it's a hotel. That he planted. It makes sense. He planted a tree. Right? So what does it mean? Vayitach? It says in Daniel, Vayitach ahalei apando. That he will, right, he will put down all the tents. And so we see that the term Vayitach is not only used by planting of a tree, but it's also used in pitching a tent. He pitched a tent. The term Vayitach is used over there also. Vayikra, b'sham, b'shem Hashem tel olam. As it says over there, that he tell Hashem b'ver sheva, then he calls out in the name of Hashem. Amar l'shach yishal tikra vayikra, that he calls, ela v'yikarye, or vayikarye. That other, he calls others to call out.
Vayakri,
thank you. Vayikri, thank you. Vayikri, Avraham Avinu, l'shmo shalok kashbrok, u'pekol ober v'shav, that he calls others to call in the name of Hashem. Kate said, how do you do this? L'achar she'achlu b'shav to amdu l'var kol. Right after he fed them, took care of them, the guests would come to Abraham and say, thank him for what they had. Did you eat my stuff? And so that's, he says, that's how Abraham was the Shagar, right? The Shem Hashem, the Fiyakol. And Rashi points out in the previous Amud that according to the one who says that Eshel is a Pundak, that goes with the Medrash that says Lashon Eshel is a Notrikon of Achila, Shtia, and Leviyah. Right? That's the famous measures that that's brought down. Right. So Yehuda thought she was a zonah because she covered her face. Shouldn't be kissed up in there, my brother's on that. She was covering her face, he thought she was a zona. What does it have to do with her? Thing is, a zona doesn't, first of all, doesn't usually cover her face. And number two is, what does that have to eat? Why is she considered a zona if she's covering her face? I'm like, oh, so she kissed her in there, but it's coming. Not that she covered her face now, but that she had covered her face when she was married to Aaron Onan, and she was living in the house of Yudah. So that anybody who was shnua in their in-law's house, meaning that she's very tzanua, meaning she will have the ability or will have will have come out of her malachim and kings and the nevi'im and prophets. Minolan, how do you know this? Mitamar. You know this from Tamar. How do you know that Tamar is the lineage of Tamar? Nevi'im, Dechtiv Chazon Yishayahu ben Amoz. Right? It says that Yishayahu, the Navi Yishayahu, was the son of Amoz. Malachim Yidavid. So we know kings came from David. So why does Yishayahu ben Amoz help you about being from, how do we know that Yishayahu was from the lineage of Tamar? There, Amar Rav Levi, Davar Zer Mesoret B'Yadenu Me'Avotenu. This is Mesoret from our forefathers. Amoz Ve'Amatzia Achim Ha'Aviyu. That Amoz and Amatzia were brothers. And since Amatzia, right, was part of the lineage of the kings of David, Machut Beit David, if Amoz was his brother, that means that he also was part of the lineage of David. He's part of the lineage of David, and he comes from Tamar, and he's the father of Yishayahu, and Yishayahu is a Navi. So now we can prove, right, that she had Malachim, she had kings, and the Nevi'im and prophets that came out from her. And that's chus, what that was the chus, that she was Tznuah Beit David. What was the tznius that she had Beit David? Is that she kissed that now, that she covered her face, because she covered her face Beit David. And that's why when Yehuda sees her, Vayechshu the Zonah, because he doesn't recognize her. He doesn't know who she is. Not because she's covering her face now, but because she did cover her face, right, when she was in his house. He moved safe, right? It says that she's taken out to be burnt. It should have said, he moved safe, me by the way. That she was, right, being taken out. So the Rashi says, what's the difference between he moved safe and he moved safe? Right? So Rashi says, he moved safe means having maximum shun hotza abal korcha. Being taken out against her will, actively being taken out. He mutseh mashal mitziyah. Mutseh means that she's found there. Right? So he mutseh means that she's found there. It's like a passive form of being found. Whereas he mutseh means that she's actively being dragged out. So Amar Blaz, Lachash Nimtsu Simana, Basamael, Berichab Khan, Bad Gabriel, Bekirvan. So what does it mean, mutseh? So there's a play on this. After she had the simanim of Yehudah, that's what she has there, she's going to give over to Yehudah, Sibi or Mit. So over there, the Malachim are fighting over the simanim. Basamael, who is the Sar of Esav, very chikan, and he gets, pulls him away. But Gabriel, the Sar of, right, the Bnei Yisrael, comes with Kirvan and brings them back. I know if, this is what's written, Lam Natseach, Al Yonat Elaim, Rechokim Le David Nichtam. Right, so this is the Shir, right, Al Yonat Elaim, the silent Yonah, Rechokim Le David Nichtam. That was sealed, right, when we sealed the fate of David. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Right, Mishash Nitzrachakusi Manah. When the simanim were taken away from her, Nasid Koyona Yilamet. She was then like a silent dove. The David Mitam, she had some minute David, Shemach Vitam, Lakol. That David came out of her was David, who was Mach Vitam. Right, that he was whole and finished. Right, that he was an Anav and Tam and complete to all. Davar Her Mitam Shemechto Bakato Tamah. That the wound was whole, meaning that what does it mean? Shnalak shumahu. That he's born with a bris already, and therefore he didn't need another bris. The Rakhir Mechtam, Kishim Shukatanto, Yiktinat Smoitzel Mishigadom, Mimenal Motara, Kach Bigalto. So to when he grew older. So again, how do you know the link? Because of the silence of what? Of Tamar, right? Rechokim, when the Simanim were taken far away from her, the David Mechtam was the. Out of that, the schluss came David Mechtam. That came out that David was Machpatam or Mechtam, Makatama, whatever the schluss. But that schluss that Tamar remained silent in the face of losing the Simani, meaning that she didn't want to embarrass Yehudah, and when the Simani were taken away, she didn't say anything. Right? From that schluss comes out the David Mechtam. That's David came out of this. Sends Simani to him and says, these are, whoever these are, that's who I came bringing to him. But Tamalay Maymar, why does he just tell him? I mean, why does she send the Simani and just tell him that it was him? So Amar Rav Zutra Bar Tuvi Amar Rav Amila Amar Rav Kana Bar Bizna Amar Rav Shimon Chasidav Amila Amar Rav Yochanan Mishum Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, famous, very, very famous line. Noach lo adam she'afil atzman lo tov kiyub shana ish ve'al yabim kidei chamero berabim. better to throw oneself into a fire, right, than to be malvin p'nei chavero b'rabim, to embarrass Yehudah. She didn't want to embarrass Yehudah, therefore she was willing to be thrown into the stake, the fire, to be burnt to the stake, rather than to embarrass Yehudah. That's why she didn't speak to him straight. Minalad, where do you know this from? Mitamar. From exactly this case of here, Tamar sends the items to him and says, it, or whoever this is, that's who it is, but she didn't make it, or she didn't approach him, face him down, and say that it was he that did this. So that's me know, Abim Padei Chaver. I just point out here, this is a very interesting Tosis over here. Right? The Tosis says over here, well, if it's better for a person to, I feel it's not a tough Kibshan Shalesh, right, than to embarrass his friend, then this should be, how come there are only three Averot that we say, Yeherav, Me'al Yavor? Greg Yavor applies, don't be a violent use of Avera, and die instead. So we have the Virgilia, right, Shukos Damim, and for Avodah Zarah. How come Malvin Pnei Chavero is not mentioned as one of the... I would, exactly, very good. Right, I would have said that. Tosafot doesn't answer that. That would have been the answer, Rebbe Shlomo. I would have said that, exactly. Malvin Pnei Chavero, the Gemara compares to Shukos Damim in another place. So to snip, to subcategory of Shukos Damim, it's included under Shukos Damim. Tosafot does not answer that, which is very interesting over here. Tosafot says no. He says, "Venir high below chashid play behind the gimel averos and warm stuff. Shenom dim v'fnei pikuach nefesh b'shem daverot halvanat panim enum fushesh b'torah." It's not explicit in the Torah. And the other isurim of Avodah Zarah, Shvichos Damim, and Gilui Arayot are mentioned explicitly in the Torah as violations. And therefore, right, those are the three that we say, Yeherav, Ve'al Yavor, about these Averot that are explicitly mentioned. Amel Ben Chaver is not explicitly mentioned in the Torah, and therefore it's not brought down when they're talking about Yeherav, Ve'al Yavor. But Enochanami, you would be Yeherav, Ve'al Yavor, according to Tosfos, for Malvin Pnei Chavero. It's an unbelievable understanding in Malvin Pnei Chavero, that you would actually have to give up your life rather than to embarrass somebody. All right, Hakir Na, this is a thematic, the Mark points out a thematic idea, this actually goes, the Mark only points out two of them, it actually happens a number of times, it happens four or five times, the term Hakir Na is used. My brother-in-law once pointed this out. Amar Kamar B'chanino, it says, Bahakir Biser Laviv, right? Yehuda tells his father about the Yosef with the word Hakir, right? Because it says, Hakir Na, Hakitonet bin Chahi Ulo, right? It says, is this your son's, you know, coat after they sell Yosef down and they dip it in the blood? And Hakir Bistru. And with Tamar, when she comes to him, says, what? She says, Hakir Na, the me, Hakotemet of Tili Mele, right? That's, who do these belong to? Meaning that she says to Yehuda, you know, whoever these belong to, Hakir Bistru. Hakir Bistru, Hakir Kadav, Kobet Chahi, Hakir Bistru, Hakir Na, the me, are these belong to? So now, the truth is that there are actually two more Hakirs in between, which is that Yaakov also, right, tricks his father. When Yaakov originally starts out, he tricks his father by Hakir Na, right, by Hakir Bo'yikiru, right, that when Yaakov goes to trick at the bracha between Esav, it also uses the term Hakir over there, he tricks his father with Hakir. Laban, when he tricks Yaakov with Rachel and Leah, also uses the word Hakir. So there's a rolling theme of this Hakir, that Midah connected Midah, that Yaakov tricks his father, Laban then gets tricks his father, Yehuda comes along and Hakir tricks his father with the Mi'ikot, which is also tricking Yaakov, but tricked his father, and then Yehuda again is caught by Hakir Na. So you see a thematic Hakir Na, this Midah connected Midah of those that trick through Hakir Na are, you know, punished or get the same back. Right? Na, what's the lashon? Na, ain la lashon of bakasha. She says, please, I'm going to let you bakasha min kha kher p'midei b'reich. B'recha, right? Recognize Hashem. Al tid tali me necha mi meni. Do not forsake me over here. Because she's not willing to embarrass him. So she's saying, please, you know, admit that this is you. Vayekha Yehuda v'yomar tzadka mi meni. Yehuda recognizes it. And v'yomar tzadka mi meni. That she is more righteous than I am. Dama rakhanim barbizah mishim chasidah. Yosef shikid Hashem shemayim seter zachah bo sifalo atachat mishmo shal kaj barakho. Yosef, who what was mekad Hashem shemayim with the Eishit Pati Farah that was all in private, therefore sifalo atachat mishmo shal kaj barakho. They did a dut behosef samo. Right, that Yosef, there they add on the Yod to it, I mean the Hey to his name, right, that is one of the letters of Hashem Hashem, which is brought down what we say every Yom Chamishi in Tehillim. Right, Yehudah Shekideh Hashem Shemayim Repesu Zachem Nekar Kulo Shemo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Name Yehudah is, right, Yud Kei, Vav Kei is found in the name of Yehudah, and since he was Mekad Hashem Shemayim Repesu, the name of Hashem is always found in Yehudah. That's the Gemara uses when it wants to say someone makes a mistake. as Mekadosh Hashem or writes Yehudah instead of Hashem Hashem, or writes Hashem Hashem instead of Yehudah by accident, because those two can be confused. There's only one letter difference between them. You saved Tamar and her two children, future children, from the fire. She was pregnant at the time. Therefore, I will sell three of your offspring from the fire. Maniu with the offspring of him. Hananya, Mishael, the Azarya. It's not coming, many. No, Yodo. Right? How did he know? He says, how did Yehuda know that she was more righteous than him? Right? I mean, she was more righteous than he. How did she know that? So the Mar says, no, you have to look close by Mar Mimeni. Yeah, it's not Kibushi. That Mimeni is not from the statement of Yehuda. The statement of Yehuda is Tzadka. The Batko comes out and says, Mimeni, not Mimeni, means Mimeni. These things, these hidden things came from me. Hashem says, this is my plan to have the lineage of Yehuda or the lineage of Mashiach come. Says afterwards, Lo Yasuf Od the Data, says that he no longer, right, knew her. Lo Yasuf, this is a running theme throughout, anytime it says Lo Yasuf in the Torah, what does it mean, Lo Yasuf? Does Lo Yasuf mean that do not continue? Or Lo Yasuf means that even more so, they had by Eldad and Medad. Medam Ibaam, but Lo Yasuf, right, that they no longer were being Nevi'im. So over there also, the Gemara asks, what's Lo Yasuf mean? Does it mean to continue or not to continue? Right, so the Shmuel Zavas over here, we see one of the interpretations. Shmuel Bar Ami, Mishmeder of Shmuel Bar Ami, came in, she adash shuv lo pasak mimena. Once he knew her, he didn't stop being with her. Ktiv haf lo yasaf oda dada, kulatim kol gadol v'lo yasaf. By Har Sinai, it says there was a kol gadol v'lo yasaf. It did not stop. And lo yasaf means not that it didn't continue, but lo yasaf means that it did not stop. So lo yasaf can either mean, right, not to continue, or can mean not to stop. So you can interpret it in both ways. Avshalom Yitka Ebsaros, here we'll begin the Agarato of Avshalom. Right, Taravan, Avshalom Sarom Arad, that he rebelled with his hair. Shinemark Avshalom Layat Ish Yafeh. This is the beginning after Avshalom is brought back to David, right? He was banished from David after he kills Amnon. Then he comes back, and then he slowly builds this rebellion over a number of years. Over a number of years, he basically, it says that Avshalom was, there was no one more beautiful than Avshalom. With Bechot Rosho, right, and he used to cut his hair, he used to take all the people with him, and it would be after, you know, numerous days, he would take his hair or cut his hair, it would be weighed out of 200 shekel, Be'evan HaMelech, right, heaven, Shanshe Tverian, Shitsi Porsho Limba, the weights that the people of Tverian support, the peacock, Nitla Vasaro, therefore he was captured by his hair, Shnemar, Vayikare, Absalom Lifnat, the David in the battle between the people of Absalom and David, it said that Absalom chanced upon the Abdi David. He bumped into them by accident. Absalom Rochev al Aperet, he was riding on the mule, Vayavo Aperet Takat Shovek Ailah, he comes under the branches of the Ailah of the Elm, Agdolah, Our Gemara says Vayochez, which does not exist in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says Vayechezak, right? Rosho Vayilah, that his hair was captured in the elm. Vayutan ben Shemayim uben Aretz, right? That he is suspended between heaven and earth. Vaperet asher tachta davar, and then the mule continues riding without him, right? So therefore, Himar over here is explaining above what we said, that Avshalom, that certain people had beautiful things, and then they were captured after. So Avshalom also, he starts his rebellion by, he's really good looking, he sets up shop outside of Ir David before the palace, and every time everybody comes up to the palace of David, he is sympathetic to their cases. Right, they come up for judgment by the king, he's sympathetic to the cases, it makes them feel that he understands them. And then later on, when he starts the rebellion, he's already won over the hearts. It says there, the Nevi says, but Ganeim and Blame Israel. And he stole the heart of Israel, meaning that he was already captured them. He was charismatic, he was beautiful, charismatic, and he had already convinced the people, right, to come after him. So he wanted to cut off. He took out a knife or some sort of scissors and he wanted to cut off his hair so that he could get down. Right? Just cut his hair. If he cuts his hair, he could get out of this predicament.
Is that the merit?
What?
Was that the merit? That it wasn't your base chodesh and was going to cut his hair? What's the merit, Bisaro? How is he Morid Bisaro?
No, that's how he started the merit. The merit of Shalom is because of his beauty. He used to sit, that's what I was just explaining. He used his beauty. He used to sing outside the king's palace. And number one, two things about that. One, he used to sit outside the king's palace, and he's very charismatic and beautiful, and he used to get the people to come over to him, and he would speak to them and make them feel like they were his party. Number two is, how did he start his merit? He goes out, he says to David, I have a promise. I have a neder that I need to be shalem. Although there, it sounds to be like the neder that he's going to be mishalem is the neder that when he was left, when David banished him from Yerushalayim, he says that I have a neder to pay because I said whenever I come back to Yerushalayim, I'll go back. But it was, he went down to bring karbanot and be mishalem nidri. That's what it says there, right? That I have to pay my neder that I had promised. So what was that neder? Either that is that he promised earlier, or it says over here that he used to go every year to cut his hair, that there was a little shalom and neder of his nisirut. And that's what it means it began with the merit of shalom. So both aspects, that his hair was involved in the beginning of the answer. So he went to cut the hair off. That what stopped him from cutting his hair is that the ganem opened up, the dirt opened up under him, and he saw that if he cut his hair, he was going straight down. So he got the melech. So after he gets killed, right, David instructed all, there were three platoons that went out from David, each led, one led by Yoav, one by his brother Abishai, and then one led by, I think, Hittai. And they go out to battle, and David instructs them as they go out to battle, nobody kill Absalom. Don't hurt Absalom. Right? So then, afterwards, right, they get Absalom suspended here, and Yoav wants to send one of his weapons bearers to kill Absalom. The weapons bearer says, I heard the king say, don't hurt him. So Yoav says, alright, fine, I'll take care of myself, and Yoav kills him. Right? He takes his weapons and he kills. Then they come back, and they send, right, the two messengers come back to David, and they tell him about the Cushi comes, as well as the son of Yatara Kohen. They come back and they tell David about it, and he finds out that Absalom's dead. But Gaza Melech gets angry. Goes up to the Aliyah above the Shar. And he cries. And he says, he's walking. He says, Bini Absalom, Bini. Bini Absalom. Mi itei muti ani tachtecha Absalom. Bini. Vini, now this skips, to be honest with you, that's Pasuk K, it skips now to Pasuk Tet, right, and later on, it skips, that was Aleph, and then Pasuk K, it skips four Pasukim, and then there's a Melech La'at, right, he wrapped his face, but whenever he's Aka Melech Kol Gadol, Bini Absalom, Absalom Bini, Vini. So, Hani Tamiya, I'll tell you that I count them and count up, Hani Tamiya, Bini Lama, alright, Lama. What is it? It says eight times the word Bini. Why does David say the Bini, the term Bini, eight times? Shiva the Aske Mishiva Midure Ganim, seven to take him out of the seven levels of Ganim. The Edoch, the last one, Igadami the Kari of Rashi the Gabi Gufe, was to get his head back to his body, meaning because he was killed and they maybe chopped him, when they cut off his head or they killed him, they cut him apart. So therefore, to bring his head back to his body, to bring him up to Olam Haba. Bab Shalom. Right, lakach, vayetiv lo b'chayav. So it says after this is a side point. It's like a mamar muskar in the Navi, like a sidebar over there, that says that after Absalom's killed, it says that during his lifetime, that Absalom had built a monument during his lifetime. My lakach, amar l'shokh shokach mekach kwa le'atzmo. He chose a bad lot for himself. At Matsevet Asher Be'emek HaMelech, he set up this monument in Emek HaMelech, Amar B'Kinei Bar Papa, Ve'etz HaMukah Shel Malkos Shel Olam. This all happened with the Etz HaMukah Shel Malkos Olam, Dechtei, Hinei Nei Maki Malech Haram Yibetecha. This is the punishment. One of the punishment for David with Batsheba was that I will have someone from inside your house come and cause you problems. It says, when it says, when Yaakov sends Yosef to go see his brothers, it says, right, it came out because of the promise that Hashem broke makes to Abraham, be it to Stivia, there it's called a hem. So how does Hashem start the process of Nesel going to Mitzrayim? Is that Yaakov sends out Yosef from, right, Emek Kabron. So these ideas of Emek over here is not literally Emek being a valley, but Emek meaning what? In Kosh Olam, that these were the plans of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to fulfill the word of the plan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.